day away from the NBA draft, 71 days away from kickoff. We're getting ever closer. 71 days until Utah and North Dakota up at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Some teams will start before that. BYU opens up the weekend before, so they're at like 66 days or something like that until they play. Anyway, talk a little college football here before we hit the real dead period of July, before Pac-12 media days and all the other media days fire up. Bill Bender, he covers college football for the Sporting News, and he joins us here in Salt Lake City on the Bill Riley Show. How are you, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you on board. The most interesting story in college football, 71 days from kickoff, is what?
I think the buildup between Alabama and Florida State. I mean, this chance that we might have a game where two teams that are going to be across most playoff projections could be a number one versus number two game opening that new stadium. And, you know, I hate saying it this way, but I kind of always joke the season doesn't start till Alabama loses, and there's a chance that could happen.
I'd like to go – I probably should know this off the top of my head, but I'd like to know the last time Alabama lost an opener.
Well, it hasn't happened under Saban, and I don't have it in front of me. I remember typing it up last year. It was somewhere around like 2005, and, you know, Saban doesn't just win those openers. He wins them handily, and they're coming off the you know, last year it was 52-6 against USC. So, again, I mean, I think they'll be number one across most publications, and Florida State's got a lot of talent coming back.
Is Alabama, in your mind, the definitive best team in the country, or does maybe this game tell, is it down to those two? Is there somebody else that might be in the discussion?
No, I always look at talent first. I mean, you know, Alabama has a ton of talent through the recruiting. Ohio State does, too. I think Ohio State's a big storyline in terms of how do they get up off the mat after losing 31-0 to Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl and bringing in Kevin Wilson, invigorating that passing game. You mentioned those openers, which I was like, whoa, those are close. And Ohio State plays that Thursday night opener against Indiana. I think they're another team to watch out for. But, you know, those three in USC are pretty much the chalk going into the season.
So you like USC as one of the top four teams in the country. It's interesting, out here in the Pac-12, I'm with you. I think they're the best team in the Pac-12, at least on paper. Washington might be there, but I just got to see how Chris Peterson replenishes, because they got hit pretty hard in the NFL draft. A lot of talent went to the league this year.
They did, and I think, you know, the Pac-12, you know, you look at it, the big picture, and I think that they're going to be good. The USC is going to be very good, but I have some concerns about their offensive line. They weren't real healthy in the spring. Washington, like you said, you have that many guys go to the NFL, you wonder. But the one thing those two schools do have is elite quarterbacks. I think Sam Darnold and Jake Browning are two of the best quarterbacks in the country. And to win in the Pac-12, you're going to need that quarterback play to be there, because it is top to bottom. Kind of has, I would say, the most teams, maybe not elite teams, but the most teams that could pick you off on any given week.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Washington plays a super soft non-conference schedule, and they don't have to play USC during the regular season. USC plays a pretty difficult non-conference schedule, but again, they don't have to play Washington in the regular season, but they've got others, so be really interesting. I think that soft non-conference schedule will help Chris Peterson, where USC, as they did a year ago, may not be quite as tough as last year's schedule, but it's still pretty difficult before they get into the conference play.
Oh, absolutely. You look at Washington, I think the end of their schedule, 4 or 5 at home, you know, a lot of opportunities there. To really, you know, take advantage of that first half of the season. So I think if they get to that stretch at the end, they'll be in good shape. USC, meanwhile, I mean, they play Texas early. The Western Michigan game would be a lot more interesting had P.J. Fleck stuck around there. But their September's brutal. I mean, they're going to, for all the hype that I'm pushing on them and other writers are pushing on them, they're going to have to bring it in September.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think it's the killer schedule it was last year, because they had – you know, they had Alabama in that mix. Plus, then they had to open up with Stanford in conference play. But SC's schedule is markedly more difficult than the three cream puffs that Washington's playing.
No, oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. With the Pac-12 last year, I mean, Washington, and you and I remember this, at the year, there was talk of like a Michigan hop in Washington, even if they won the Pac-12. That was a down-to-the-wire discussion with a Penn State or a Michigan, and there's still that should they have taken Washington debate. I still think Washington earned it on the field, and that's what you want to see. But you know, I guess if the Pac-12 had it their way, and I hate to do this in your market on your radio show, but they would probably, they wouldn't say this out loud, but they probably want like a Washington USC 11-1 versus 11-1 type matchup, so they got to, they kind of guarantee themselves a spot in the playoff.
Talking to Bill Bender, he writes college football for the Sporting News. You can find him on Twitter at BillBender92. So as we look at the Pac-12 conference, and I do agree with you, I think SC on paper is the team to beat. Which division after the leader is tougher for you to figure, the North or the South?
Well, there's some X factors in the North that I don't know what to do with Oregon. Maybe you can tell me what to
do. I don't either. I'm with you. They've got talent, I think, but it's a whole new coaching staff that's not from the region, and they're not playing the same. They're not playing a style of football that matches the kids that were recruited to the program.
Yeah, and I like Willie Taggart a lot, and I think their quarterback's going to do fine, Justin Herbert. I think Royce Freeman, he seems like he's played there forever. So they're the one team that I think could be, you know, determine which way it goes. And I think, you know what you're going to get out of Stanford and Washington State. I think they're going to pose challenges for Washington. And then on the other side, I mean, UCLA is kind of the X factor team to me there, because they should be better than they are. They should have been better than they were last year. They've had Josh Rosen for now. They're going to have him for a third year, and there might be a little pressure there. I mean, and as far as contenders, I think Colorado continue to improve. Utah, solid program with Kyle Whittingham, and a good quarterback, and I think they're going to have a chance to have a say. But the thing is, in that division, it just seems like you've got to avoid the potholes.
They've played SC well. The South, for me, and I've been very vocal about this, national guys like yourself, and I'm not accusing you of this, but a lot of national guys love to give UCLA and Jim Mora and Josh Rosen the benefit of the doubt. I'm taking the wait-and-see approach. We've seen 3 years of this. I want to see them actually do it. I think Utah and Colorado are a bit more proven. Kyle Whittingham has proven he's going to be there. If they can get the better quarterback play, we'll see. They've also got to replace their offensive line. Colorado's an interesting task for me because they lose, again, so much to the NFL draft. Montez will be good, maybe even better than Lufau, but he lost a ton on that defense. So I think this is kind of the litmus test for Mike McIntyre. He had a great year last year. I think this year we're going to find out, Bill, just how well he recruited, or was last year's kind of a great catch lightning in a bottle year. Hello, Bill Bender. Apparently, Trevor, we have lost Bill Bender. So if you can effort to get him back on for just a second, that would be fantastic. Bill Bender is with Sporting News. You can find him at BillBender92. I do want to ask him, which is the toughest conference for him to peg of the Power Fives? I want to get a quick thought from him on BYU as well, with Kalani Sitake going into his second year. A lot of people think this could be a big year. And if you look at it, it's kind of the same season that it was a year ago. If you could just survive that early part of the season and maybe pull a surprise win. Remember, last year's schedule looked super difficult, and it didn't necessarily play out to be that way for BYU. Some of the teams you thought were going to be really good were just okay. So we'll get his thoughts on that as well coming back here on the other side. By the way, one college football note, Jack Tuttle, the prodigy quarterback, big-time commit for the University of Utah, is on campus for the next couple of days up doing an official. All right, Bill Bender back with us here. What's the toughest conference for you to pick, Preci, of the Power Fives? Which is the toughest one for you to figure out how it's going to play out? Maybe it's Pac-12, what we were just talking about.
Well, I think that's one. With me, it's still figuring out that Big Ten East, because, you know, I think Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State are all going to be very good. And then, which one of those three, are we going to be in a situation like last year where all three of them are in the discussion and we still don't really know who the best team is? And I think that's going to happen. Pac-12 South, I mean, if USC did not live up to expectations, and this is what I was getting at before I cut off, is Utah going to be that team? Would it be one? You mentioned UCLA, and I'm not on board with them either. And I think the two Arizona schools with coaches that are clearly on the hot seat, they're not too far removed from success. So who would be, let's say USC doesn't live up to expectations, which team would step up and maybe take that division?
I think everybody in at least this part of the country, and everybody's doing their hot seat ratings, would tell you that the seats for both Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez, maybe not as hot as the temperatures right now in Arizona, but getting there.
Yeah, I mean, again, these two played for the division a few years ago. Todd Graham's done a good job there. And Rich Rod, you know, they're coming off really a terrible year. And they both need the quarterback play to be there. I know with Arizona State, there's a lot of excitement about Blake Barnett. But is he really going to be that guy? On the other side with Arizona, you know, who's going to run that system? They've got a couple candidates there. And they need that. Because, like you said, I mean, it wasn't too long ago both those teams on the way up, and now, and I don't think it's just us or any other hot seat ranking. Those guys are definitely in that discussion.
All right, before I let you go, the other team in the state that's predominant is BYU. Second year with Kalani Sitake. Because they're not in the conference, they're independent. They really front-load that schedule. And then back on the backside, if they can survive early, it's pretty easy down the stretch. But I'd be curious to know, what's the national view? They haven't been in a conference now for 6 years. They've gotten good wins, but no great wins. What's the national view of BYU right now?
I think they've done everything they can, and they're just not getting the attention of the Power Five. I mean, plenty of schedule. Look at their schedule. I mean, they're playing good teams in September. It's not going to be easy for them to do that. And it's one of those deals where I think they've done everything they can to increase the program's profile. They're winning 8 and 9 games, but they're in an environment where in the future they're going to have to continue to work toward joining a Power Five conference, because whether it's them or Notre Dame or whoever, I think maybe it shows what the, even though it's Group of Five, I think maybe shows what joining a conference can do. It really has increased that program's profile. So I think that's a challenge for them to keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, but there's no Power 5 invitation lurking anywhere. It's certainly not going to be the Pac-12. Maybe they've hoped the Big 12, but the Big 12 said that's probably not going to happen either. So I've made the case BYU doesn't want to hear it and their fans don't want to hear it, but I think in the long run, if there's no Power 5 invite coming, to me, joining the Mountain West again, playing for a New Year's Day 6 and being one of the best two teams in that conference annually might be the better move, but I don't think they'll do that, Bill.
I don't either, but I mean, that's a feasible option down the line if we continue to run down this path where of the haves and have-nots. And, you know, that's been written about a lot. I don't think any of these big-time programs are slowing down. I've made the comparison to Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and a few others. But I don't know about you. I think they resemble more closely NFL franchises than college football programs. So, you know, that's going to be the challenge for BYU. But, yeah, in that sense, a Boise State, it's going to be South Florida this year. You can increase your profile that much, but, you know, what's the end game is, I'm sure, the question BYU fans would be asking.
All right, enjoy a couple of weeks of what we think will be quiet before media days, practice, and then the season hits us soon, Bill. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Bender of Sporting News with us here on the Bill Riley Show.